morning, River Church. My name is Daniel. I'm the youth pastor here at the River. Today's all church service is a special one because we're going to be recapping what happened in South Korea. You may know, you may be hearing for the first time, but about a month ago, a team of 17 of us, high schoolers and youth leaders, we went to South Korea and we had a short-term missions trip there. And today we're excited to share with you all the great things God did. I asked two of our team members here, Caleb and Zoe, to come and share their experience with us a little bit. So could y'all join me in giving them a warm welcome? You got that too. Caleb, could you tell us why you wanted to come on this trip with us?
Yeah, I decided to go on the trip for two big reasons. The first one was I'd never been to Asia before, so it was something I really wanted to do. And being able to go with a group of my friends made me want to go even more. And the second reason I chose to go was to learn more about God. So I've been going to the River my whole life, and I've always felt like part of the church, but I've never had like a truly meaningful experience with God, and this was something I hope to have on the trip.
So originally, I was unsure if I actually wanted to go on the mission trip because I wanted my intentions to be for God's mission and not just because my friends were going, even though that was definitely a plus. But I gave in because I knew that being surrounded by this community would help me grow my faith. And this mission trip definitely exceeded my expectations.
All right, could you also tell us what was maybe one of the most enjoyable things from the trip?
For me, the most enjoyable thing was learning about the new culture and especially the food. It was way better than anything here. But actually, one of the most shocking things was there were almost no Teslas there, which was super surprising. But besides all of that, I really enjoyed just spending time meeting new people and getting to know the members of my youth group a little bit better.
Okay, so for me, the thing that I enjoyed most was, it sounds really typical, but making memories with all the people I met there and then also in our youth group. Another thing that I loved was that I could see so clearly how Jesus was when he was here through the people that I met in Korea. It was the community that was serving us and loving us since the first day, not only because we were guests, but because they wanted to. Another thing that I love was the good laughs that I had with everyone that I met there. One of the nights for dinner, there was a bunch of tomatoes on a plate, and everyone was mostly done, so I was like, we should play spoons. And if you guys know what that is, it's a game where everyone has cards, and you're trying to collect four of the same cards and then grab something in the middle. So since there was tomatoes, I was like, we should use that. And then to make it even better, I was like, might as well just eat it too. So so in the end, we ate a bunch of tomatoes, and some exploded on people's faces and on their clothes too. And in the end, we had four plates of those. Oh, no, three, yeah.
All right, last but most importantly, how did you feel God moving in our midst, and what do you think God was trying to teach you through that?
So towards the start of the trip, I didn't really see God moving much, but to be honest, no one was, because we were all super jet-lagged and exhausted from the heat. So the first few days were pretty chill, moving pretty slowly. But then as the energy increased, I felt that energy welcoming God's presence into our midst. And I started to really see God moving around us. But I didn't really understand what God was trying to tell me until I came back to the demanding, fast-paced world of Silicon Valley. And I think that God was trying to show me that sometimes you just need to take a break, slow down, and let God do the work. And the trip helped me to realize that sometimes God doesn't show you what he's trying to tell you where you expect it. Like, I expected to get this answer, to learn something from God on the trip, but I didn't learn it until I got back.
So going into this trip, I thought there was going to be a set schedule for all the 10 days that we were there, but I was wrong. It was okay, guys, it was mostly because of the weather that things would change around, and sometimes we would find out things the night before or the day of. It was really hard for a lot of us to grasp because it felt like we couldn't do anything about it. But one day, Daniel brought us together and told us that we should go with the flow and be flexible. Even though it was so simple, I realized that in the time and place that we live in, we're always wanting to know what's next. It's what keeps us afloat and what gives us a sense of control, in which at the time we felt like we were in the dark. But the thing is, only God knows what's next. What God taught me was that He has His plans, and when it's different from what we want, we tend to focus on the wrong things. What God wanted me to do is to let go of wanting control and letting Him work in me.
Yes. All right. Thank you, guys. Let's give them a warm welcome, or warm. All right. Today, I've also asked one of our youth leaders who went on the trip with us, Bethany, to share her testimony from the trip. So would you please join me in welcoming up Bethany to the stage.
Please bear with me if this isn't entirely coherent. I am a very slow processor. We've only been back a month, so ask me in a year, and this might sound a little different. So before the trip, I was kind of a last-minute addition. I'd been open to going for a long time, but there wasn't a spot for me that until one opened up not very long before the trip. So I spent some time praying, wondering, okay, God, what do you want from me on this trip? And obviously I knew I want to go because I love our youth and I love spending time with them. And I really wanted to be along to watch them grow and support them on the trip. But I wondered what else might God have for me? And He gave me the words lean and listen, and an invitation to lean into the experience, to pay attention to what was going around me, and to listen to God, to listen to the youth. And I wasn't quite sure how that would play out. And the first few days, as you may have heard, were a little difficult. We were all jet lagged, it was pouring rain. I was a little overwhelmed as an introvert to be surrounded by people 24/7, but I kept hearing that nudge from God to lean and listen. And so I would pray as people are playing games, as the students were practicing to lead the service on Sunday. I just tried to keep my eyes open and observe and pray. And I got to see so many opportunities. I just have so many stories of our students taking risks and trying new things and seeing the ways that they were building relationships with our Korean hosts and our new friends that we were making. Sometimes just seeing them all leading the service on Sunday was incredible. It was so powerful to see them each taking a different role up there. Sometimes they were physical risks, like we had to walk across this crazy, scary, high bridge. And the only reason I made it across is because there was a student who was also terrified, and we were helping her across, and so then I couldn't think about how scared I was and how high I was. And then there was also a really steep staircase that I did not go up, even higher up the mountain, and to hear stories from students who conquered their fears by climbing that was incredible. And I also got to see how God had made us one body with the Korean hosts and their congregation there. Sunday was so incredible to see us all together and to realize that all around the world, we have brothers and sisters that we're connected to, and to watch our students interacting and being one body with that church. But there was one moment that really stood out to me, and it's sort of the most memorable thing for me. Around my leaning and listening. So I'm also a spiritual director, and I've been trying to find out how do I bring my spiritual direction skills into a youth ministry world, which is not silent and is not still, both of which I really value in spiritual direction. And so during the trip, I mentioned I was praying for people and listening and trying to hear from God, what's a word, and I was making little prayer cards. And one of the Korean students approached me one night as there's games going on and people are making friendship bracelets and it's the usual craziness. And she asked me what I was doing and I shared with her. And then sometimes we were using Google Translate going back and forth. And she asked me, she slid her phone over to me and we're using Google Translate and said, "How do you know when it's God speaking?" And in that moment, I heard the Holy Spirit once again say, "Lean, listen. Pay attention." And as we continued our conversation, sometimes using Google Translate, I realized that this was a spiritual direction opportunity for me with this young woman. And she had questions that she was asking about God and about her relationship with him. And I was able to share words of encouragement and God's love and grace to her. And we're both crying at one point, and we prayed together, and I just got the best hug from her. And we've stayed in contact now through Instagram, and I realized that God can use me, even via Google Translate, even in this chaotic, crazy world, I can still hear God in kind of remarkable circumstances. So I wasn't expecting that. I thought I'd be kind of a support person, background character, kind of hanging out and helping and praying, but to have that moment of interaction was so meaningful for me. And I'm going to end with one completely shameless plug for volunteering with the youth group that Daniel and Hannah did not ask me to do, but I can't not say how amazing the youth are in our church. And if you are not spending time with them, you are really missing out. So please, if consider it and think about it, because they are just incredible people, and it is such a gift and an honor to be able to spend time with them.
That was a little glimpse of what we did in South Korea. To begin, I'd like to say thank you to the church, to all of you, for supporting us. You supported us so that this trip could happen, both financially and spiritually through your prayers. And through the generous giving, you know, individually and as a community, our youth were able to have an incredible experience. And we truly, truly, truly couldn't have done it without each of you. So thank you very much. Give yourselves a round of applause. I love short-term missions trips. I enjoy them personally, but even more than that, I love what they can mean for young people. I hope today you caught the glimpse of the impact a trip like this could have. For many, it becomes a foundational moment for their faith and even their personal growth. I still remember my very first missions trip. It was when I was a high schooler, and our youth group went to Honduras. This was all the way back in 2003. Just out of curiosity, I looked up if any of our team members were born yet, and they were not. It goes to show, don't look for answers to questions you don't want to know the answers to. But it was on that trip that we helped put some finishing touches on a church building. We had a pop-up medical clinic, and it was a transformational experience for me as a high schooler. And it was my first time being immersed in a different culture. It was the first time that I got to see for myself firsthand the effects of extreme poverty. But I also witnessed the Spirit of God moving through our team and through the people there. And the Spirit of God was moving powerfully in worship, in their hospitality, in the food that we ate as well. The food there is still some of my favorite food that I've ever eaten to this day. They had this amazing tradition where just like in the mid-afternoon, everyone would take a coffee break together. I thought that was awesome. Some of the best coffee and biscuits to date. It was a kind of a show of, you know, we're doing this work, but we're gonna make time to just kind of stop, enjoy each other's company and some coffee, and then get back to work again afterwards. It was just like a lovely time. Since then, since my first time in Honduras, I got to go back to Honduras 2 times, work with that same community, help build more of the church, even help build a camp that they have for other communities come and experience God's presence, and also more of these pop-up medical clinics. Each trip gave me a deep sense of purpose, right? It was like I was able to accomplish something really meaningful for the kingdom of God, right? And to be able to feel that accomplishment was really formational, really transforming, really awesome feeling. However, in 2009, there was this book that was published. It's called When Helping Hurts. Maybe a lot of you know that book as well. That book made me rethink a lot of what I thought I knew about short-term mission trips, right? And in that book, in a short summary, the book says that while the intentions of the church are well-meaning and are good, that many church efforts to serve the poor have actually done more harm to the communities than good, right? It called on Western churches to let go of what they called a savior complex and adopt a deeper, more relational approach to ministry. In a quote I found of the author says, the primary strategy at the core, like the good way to do these trips and to help the poor, the primary strategy at the core is our repentance of a sense of pride and superiority. That really struck a chord with me. It forced me to reconsider short-term missions trips kind of altogether, right? 2 years ago, at the River, we partnered with Merge. They're a missions sending organization, and we went to the Dominican Republic. And that trip kind of marked my return to this kind of ministry, to short-term missions trips after like a whole decade away. I still had a lot of questions about short-term missions trips, but I also knew the power of these kind of trips to spark growth, right, and to transform young people. And I really got the sense that this was exactly what our River youth needed at the time. And on that trip to the Dominican Republic, I actually learned a lot, and God actually revealed himself in quite surprising ways to me. For that trip, I wanted to include a lot of like tangible projects, things that we could feel really good about achieving afterwards, like make these accomplishments and kind of be like, check it out, we did all this. Like, isn't this fantastic? But as I was, you know, working with our partners there down in the Dominican Republic, I began to realize that our partners, you know, they weren't really that interested in those things. And I began to learn that what they were most interested in was our presence and our relationship. What they valued most wasn't what we could build or what kind of skills we could bring, but it was just in our being, in who we are. They wanted to connect with us on a deep relational level. That trip, I think, taught me something profound. At least I think it's profound. The greatest gift you can give is the gift of yourself. It's not about what you can do for someone, how much money you could raise, what you could build, or what services you could offer, but what matters most is the relationships. It's about being with people, not just doing things for them. That was the mindset that I wanted to bring with us to our most recent trip to South Korea. Was it a success? It's really hard to say, right? There's things that I wish had gone a lot differently. I wish it rained less. I wish we had more of a defined schedule. But even amid all the challenges, there were these beautiful, sacred moments, these divine encounters that happened. I saw our young people open up to each other, to new friends, to new experiences. And in all those moments, that's when I really thought, yeah, this is what it's all about. This is what these trips are all about. To this point, It was just kind of a lot of context and history, right, about my journey with short-term missions trips and, you know, how we got to this point and to this trip to South Korea. So if I lost you, now's the time to check back in, because we're going to get into kind of the meat of the message. And we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we're given this vivid moment during the baptism of Jesus. And whenever I play back this scene or read this scene in the Bible myself, I always pair it with some like epic Hans Zimmer music, okay? So this is the scene. And in verse 16, it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son, whom I love. With him, I'm well pleased.'" Would you please join me in prayer? God, we thank you for your word today that shows us your fatherly love for Christ, for Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would make us more like him to experience your delight and pleasure over us in who we are and what we do. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I love this passage. It's like one of my favorite passages. It's kind of like a sustaining passage for me as a person in ministry. I love this passage so much because God's words to Jesus are overflowing with love, pride, and delight. It's the kind of words I personally crave to hear and would love to hear from, you know, my Father in heaven, but also just, you know, from anybody, right? It really are words that can fill your soul. And here's what hit me about this passage. It's that to this point when God spoke these wonderful words over Jesus, that it's that Jesus hasn't done anything yet. You guys pick that up? It's just chapter 3 of Matthew, so it's like the very beginning. Nothing has really quite started up. The story has just begun. Up to this point, Jesus, he hasn't preached a sermon. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't performed any miracles yet, all right? If you look back chapter 2 and 1, I checked it out before this sermon. You know, it's just stories of him as a baby. What do you do as a baby? Not much, right? And anything that was left out, you know, of the Bible that maybe he might have done between the years of, you know, 0 and 30. You know, it probably wasn't anything noteworthy because, you know, it didn't make the cut. It didn't make the edit. If anyone had earned, quote unquote, earned God's favor in this moment, it would have been John the Baptist, right? He's the one that's doing the work. He's calling people to repent. He's baptizing them. He's concerned for people's salvation. He's preparing the way, right? He's in the wilderness, boots on the ground. He's doing the hard stuff. But it's Jesus who receives those words. "This is my son, whom I'm well pleased." Not John the Baptist. One thing I know is true is that the kingdom of God doesn't work the way that we expect it to work. Right? If it did, you know, I would expect John the Baptist to be getting all the praise and affirmation. The thing is, it never has, and it never will, because in God's kingdom, what we see in this passage here is that being comes before doing. Being comes before doing. Before Jesus accomplished anything, the Father wanted everyone to know, "That's my son. I love him. I'm proud of him." Not because of what he did or what he's done, but because of who he is. Now, don't get me wrong here, okay? Jesus did go on to do a lot of incredible things, right? We have 4 whole gospels of all the amazing things he did, right? Miracles, teachings, the whole shebang. And God invites us to do incredible things too, by his power, by his strength, with him and through him. Like, that's all good and appropriate. But let's not forget Let's not forget that before Jesus did anything, he was already fully loved and fully approved. And what this shows me is that what pleases God isn't the accomplishments, but it's our faithfulness, right? It's our faithfulness that pleases God the most. And at the end of Jesus' ministry, right, Jesus did the thing that no one else could do. He died on a cross. He triumphed over sin and death. But let's pause for a minute and let's look at how he accomplished that victory. He accomplished it by fully giving of himself. And it's because Christ gave himself for us, he gave everything, his whole being. We now get to live in the love and approval of God, not because of what we do, but because of who we are in him. And because Christ gave himself to us, we can give ourselves fully, relationally, and humbly to others. So as I reflect on this trip and all the other missions trips before it, I realize that the most lasting impact isn't in the things we get to accomplish. It's in the relationships that were formed. It's in the hearts that were opened and the faith that we deepened in both the people we served and in ourselves. These trips aren't about going somewhere new or doing something good, though we certainly get to do all those things. It's about stepping outside of our comfort zone, engaging relationally with others, and realizing that ministry isn't about showing up as a hero, but about showing up as yourself and trusting that that's enough. I want to thank you again, church, for making this trip possible, right? For your prayers, for your giving, for your belief in the young people of our church. I truly believe that seeds planted on this trip are going to grow for years to come, not just in the places that we visited, but, you know, right here in our own church and the lives of our young people. I thought I had more to say, but I don't know where it went. But to sum up what I'm trying to say today, what I'm trying to share with us all today, is that when God looked at Jesus, he saw Jesus for who he was, God's son, God's delight, not for what he did, though he did go on to do many good things. And so today, church, let's fully embrace who we are and our being, and let's give that to others. Let's share that with those around us, whether it's overseas or with our neighbors. Please join me in prayer. God, we thank you for your word today that shows us how much we're loved by you, God, how much you care for us, what lengths you would go to allow us to be completely us in your presence and with others. Give us courage, give us strength to be able to share ourselves fully with others the same way that Christ Jesus you have shared with us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.